Brother, I'm going to move this up here if that's all right. So make sure it don't turn off on you. Good to see y'all. We look forward to service time, you know, because, you know, you walk through this world and it's a, you know, if you're looking for spiritual water, it's a dry place, buddy. I'm telling you, it's a dry place. And when you know people of like precious faith who've given their life to this word, you know, it is an oasis. The word, the people who are manifestation of the word, it's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we could be here gathered together again, Lord. Lord, so much thankful for your word that we can gather around that has become the dissolver of all doubt in our lives, Lord. Father, even things to the everyday things that we deal with in life, Lord, you dissolve those doubts. Everything boils down to you manifesting your children. Father, us looking to you to bring all these things to pass, our confidence growing and going greater in you, Lord, where it's all anchored. And we're so thankful for the eye-opening truth and the living word and waters that you've given us today, Lord. We pray you'll bless them to us tonight and help us. Help the ones that couldn't be here tonight. We appreciate you getting Brother Goomba home safely. I pray you'll bless his time there. And be with us tonight. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right, Will, I say that there isn't another one of these, and then I find something else in the message, and so there's more. And so I spent a good bit of this week talking to Brother Goomba and Brother Don, mostly Brother Goomba, about some of the questions they had on here. And so I want to go back through some of this, and I want to sum up what we've been talking about this week. And I want us to, I cut way back down till there's not that many quotes in here tonight, not near as many as there usually is. But I wrote in here so that you can go back, and I realized after I started reading it that I had some typos, and so I'll have to get with my English teacher back there and get her to help me on that. But I want to, as I bring the messages now, I want to start doing it like this. Writing it in, it's not the only thing I'm going to say, hopefully, but I want to be able to take this message and just post it, the quotes out there as a readable instead of just listening to the message and all. But so I stated what I had on my heart to begin with in this series, and it expanded out, but I want tonight to consolidate down to this one area right here, and let's just talk about this. Because once we get this, then it grows from that. And it's just like the seed, you know. Martha and them's been working on these plants for a long time. They put that seed in the ground and it started growing, but it took a long time for it to finish growing. It's been months now. And it still ain't finished growing. I know the ones we got at home, some of them still ain't bloomed out. Some of them are way bloomed out. So it takes a while. And it takes certain conditions to bring that seed about. And so let's talk about that seed tonight. And so I took this series to talk about one thing, and that is God transforming his seed word into expressed word. So Brother Bram said that a long time ago when he first spoke, he said, let there be this and let there be that and let this come and let that come. And he said once he spoke, let there be an earth, that when he looked down at the earth, it was without form and void. And that wasn't what he wanted it to be. But for right then, that was right where it was supposed to be. It was without form and void. It had come into existence. Now he started forming it into what he wanted it to be. And so he has a way of bringing his seed from what he spoke to what he had in his mind for it to be. Well, he brings it to pass. Just like we got, you know, we get a seed and we can't change what a seed is when we put it in the ground. God could do whatever he wanted to. But we got a seed and we put it in the ground and it ain't going to grow if it don't get water, if it don't get sunlight, if it don't get the nutrients it needs. It doesn't matter how germinated that seed is, it ain't going to grow. And so it has to get the right condition. It's just like in human beings, a woman can drop an egg once a month in her womb. And that's not going to bring a baby. That egg sitting there by itself is not going to bring a baby until there's a ordained seed that comes to that egg. It's not going to bring nothing forth. Now, that egg is live for a certain amount of time. And those seed that go in into the womb there, they're alive for a certain amount of time. But there's only one that's going to germinate that egg and bring it to what it's supposed to be. And the two, you know, we know about in science now, we know how a little bit comes from this one, a little bit comes from that one. But what I want you to focus on, I'm not wanting to get down into nitty gritty. What I want to say on that is there's a female part and there's a male part. And God is the same way. There's the predestination and then there's God giving life to his predestination. Doesn't mean the predestination itself is not alive. We've read that so many times. That predestinated seed, Brother Bram said, it has life in it. But it has to receive the word. It has to receive the life before it can come forth. Now, we've read that a half a dozen times in different places. And there's there's dozens of places in the message where he talks about that. The last service, I took and showed three places. Even one where Brother Bram said the life comes to the life. And so it has to be something takes place. And so we want to know how that life comes to that predestinated life. There's a predestinated seed. He spoke it. Brother Bram, I think Brother Don a while back, he read that quote where Brother Bram said he spoke the world. He spoke and he just believed his own words. He believed his own words. And we went through these other messages about what faith was. And so he believed his own words. There's two parts. His word and him believing his word. And so let's look at that. Let's look at God transforming his seed. So God transforming his seed word into express word. How he said he would transform it and when it actually took place. So when he spoke all the things into existence back there and it come up in a garden, we look at that, and Brother Bram's looked at that, and we've talked about this already, about there being that tree of knowledge of good and evil there in there. That was part of. God done that on purpose because he was transforming the seed. You can't say he wasn't because he put the tree there as he was transforming what he had said. Let this come forth. Let that come forth. Let this garden come forth. And when the garden come forth, there was those two trees in it. And it wasn't always going to be that way. Just like the earth wasn't always going to be without form and void when he moved upon the face of it. Neither was it always going to be a garden with the tree of knowledge of good and evil there. We know one day Satan's going to be destroyed. He won't be there. So something's going to be different. Nor when he made the garden and he put man in it, what did he put? What did he tell man? Man, if you do such and such, then you can have such and such. We know we're not going to have that either. We know because God replaced it with Abraham in the same book, and still in Genesis there, in the same book, he replaced that covenant with another covenant. And it was the I am going to do it. And Brother Ram said that one was the eternal one. Well, why didn't he give Adam the eternal one? Why did he put Adam under this one that he said was based on man and couldn't last? That's Brother Bram's words. I can get the quote for him if you want it. Why did he do that? Why did he put Adam there like that? And then turn around and give Abraham the faith And I am. I have done it already, Abraham. He was still transforming his seed. He'd never finished it yet. And so that's the whole point that I wanted to make when we was bringing this. So if he didn't finish it then, when does he finish it? And if he finishes it today, he's finished it in Christ, but he wasn't done with just Christ. Because Brother Branham said that the coming, he comes three times. And it's all one great coming. And we saw what a coming was when we saw Christ. It was God expressed as man, which is what Brother Branham said the whole time. God's intentions have been to express himself as man. And so, remember, the seed we're talking about is man. Because that's what God's intention was, to express himself as man. And so that was what his thought was, and that's what he spoke. Let man come forth. And this man that's going to come forth sometime, he didn't speak wicked men. He didn't speak men that would fail. He spoke, and that word was a man that would never fail, because it was God in the man, see? And that's why, you know, I'm not going off on that tangent, but remember, the seed we are talking about is man, because God's desire was to express himself as man. There are other spoken seed. There was other spoken seed in the beginning, like, you know, the earth and these other things that he was bringing to pass. But man was over all of it. That right there shows where God was going to express himself. He put man over everything. So if God's going to express himself in his creation, that's where it's going to be. Because that signifies him. But man was over all of it. Whatever man done, all of nature would follow. See that? See that? If man falls, all of nature falls. Also, remember, it was not man expressing himself as God, but God expressing himself as man. And so that's why I was asking that question a while ago. If it was going to be God expressing himself as man, then why did he put Adam there in the garden and say, Adam, you do it? And then turn around to Abraham and said, Abraham, I've already done it. Because when he put Adam there and he said, Adam, you do it, he'd already done it too. When he told Adam that. So why did he put Adam under that covenant when he knew in the back of his mind he was under that Abraham covenant? And we know why. Brother Branham told us why. It was to bring the fall so that he could manifest himself as a savior. So also, and he's manifesting himself as a savior, he had to be that man. That man that paid the price had to be God, expressed as man. God wanted somebody that could live the word, because only the one that could live the word could open the book for the rest of us. And as soon as he had that one that could live all the word, he struck him and he opened the book for the rest of us. You see that? That's the way it was always going to be. When he put Adam there, he knew always he was going to strike Christ later. He knew it when he done that. And he just brought about the conditions for it. Now, I'm not saying anything that we hadn't been taught for years already. But I just want us to, until we realize exactly what happened there in the garden, we don't realize how great it is what's happening to us right now. Right now. God's ever present now. And he's happening now. And unless you realize what happened back there, it was the whole purpose of the message was he ripped the seals off to show you what he's done the whole time. And he don't rip them off until he's finished. Is that right? All right. So that's all. That's what I'm trying to talk about. He's ripped it off because he's expressed it. He's expressed himself and he showed it. Also, remember, it was not man expressing himself as God. It was God expressing himself as man. So let's start by looking at when he spoke forth the seed. Now, I didn't talk about this, but let's read it. When God had spoken, he knowed his word was a seed. He knew his word was a seed. He knew he had to do something with that seed so it would bring forth of its kind. Because that's what he told them. Bring forth of your kind. And it would bring forth of its kind. Now it was commanded to bring forth of its kind. When God says these things, they have to happen. He don't talk silliness and it might happen. And goofy and jokey. He don't do that. Now it was commanded to bring forth only of its kind. And it will always do that if man don't tamper with it. It will always bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth if man don't tamper with it. So who's doing it? God is doing it. And so we see what was going on there when he put Adam and said, Adam, you do it. He knew Adam wasn't going to make it. He knew he had fixed the situation to where Adam would fall. And so, it will always do that if man don't tamper with it. And so, would God's church and everything else bring forth of the kind like it was at the first if the theologians didn't tamper with that word? So he's talking about that spoken word. That's what it's going to bring forth if they don't tamper with it. If theologians didn't tamper with that word, trying to put it somewhere else or something else, God has spoke it. And no matter how much they can, they try to contaminate it and tamper it and so forth, it's going to bring forth of its kind. There is just nothing to stop it. And Satan has tried for 6,000 years to stop it. And he ain't stopped it, and he's not going to stop it. That's something you can put your head back on your pillow at night and rest, knowing that God is manifesting you and Satan cannot stop it. See, now we find everything in order. He's talking about in the garden. Everything was in order. God spoke it and he said, let there be, and let there be an Eden. Let there be beautiful flowers. Let there be my son in my own image. And stand over there in the garden of Eden and let his bride stand by his side. Oh, how beautiful. What that was. And the father, he was father, you see. So there come his own children coming forth. See, they were coming forth. And he made a paradise for them. God loves to do things for his children. That's what God did for Adam and Eve. He created this Garden of Eden. He had spoke it. It was in his mind. And then he says it. Then it has to happen. It has to happen. Now, what he was thinking for eternity, he spoke it forth. So now, what he had spoken had to come to pass no matter what. I'm just repeating some of the things to make sure the person doesn't miss it if they're reading. The question is, where and when did it take place? Did it take place right there in the garden? Was that the express word of God right there? And that was it. Well, we have to ask the prophet because we don't know. Did it take place in the Garden of Eden and God expressed as man went against his own word? If Adam was God expressed as man, then how did he come against God? We know he was disobedient. How is that possible? Did it take place in the Garden of Eden and God expressed as man went against his own word? Let's see if Adam become the God expressed as man. This is where I mistyped here. Let's see if Adam become God expressed as man and see if that was fulfilled in Adam or was it for a later time. Remember, Brother Branham, I read in the last service of the one before, he had to predestinate a man who needed to be saved. If Adam was a man he predestinated that needed to be saved, then how could it be the expressed word too? All right, this is just one section of the Church Age book. I wanted to read what I said a while ago. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. So whatever God's words are his thoughts. And Brother Ram said, told us, that when the Logos come out, that was God in word form. That was all, that was God, and it was all his attributes expressed out. And man is going to be that. When he's expressed in creation, he's going to be that. God's intention for his creation, man, is to express his words. In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by. And I've already read this in one of the other services. Adam was given the word to live by. A word, a life lived by the word would be the word expressed. So there's the prophet telling us what was going to be the word expressed. God's intentions was for man to express his word. That was, Brother Branham told us that. And so then he says here, if he lived his life by the word, that would be the word expressed. So Brother Branham's given us the ground rules that we have to go by in order to figure out if this is the man who expressed, is God expressed. That is true, is it not? But did Adam live by that word? No, because he was to live by every word. He didn't live by the word. He wasn't the expressed word of God. You say, oh, Chris, he was. He was there and he wasn't dying. And now, no, you got to listen to what the prophet says, not our idea about stuff. I want to go there too. My intellect wants to do that too. I've looked at this for years and fought against this. But I'm no longer going to do it. I'm going to say what he said and put my foot down on this rock. And then if he's got another rock he wants us to put our foot on, then he'll let somebody see it. And we'll put our foot on it. But if we don't want to put our foot on this rock, and we want to back off of it because this says this over here and this says those over here, then we can't take the steps. But did Adam live by that word? No, because he was to live by every word. So living by the word means living by all of the word. And he failed to take heed to every word. Now let's get it again. Let's see if he says it more than once. This is in harvest time. Now we find out that Satan caused Adam to fall by that one word. And God continued on now. He continued on. After Adam fell, he's continued on in his creation. He's not done with his creation yet. He's continuing on with it. He's in it. As Brother Goomba read the quote about eternity, just dropped down into time. It's still going on. God's still doing eternal things right in the middle of time. And God continued on now in his creation to try to find one man who would live by every word. Why does he want that man that will live by every word? Why? This struck me just a couple of weeks ago. Why does he want that one man? Because it had to be that man to open the book. That lamb was the only one that was worthy to come forth and open that book. And that one come forth from the throne. It was God expressed as man. He was the only one. And it was the only way anybody was going to live by that word. I want us to see that. Don't miss that. And when he's living his life in you, but I read a quote a few services back. He's the believer in you. He is the one, the believer in you. He's the one bringing these things to pass. Brother Bram said, you don't pump water. You don't grow wool. You don't do these things yourself. You just are that so that it happens. To try to find one man who would live by every word. His first man failed. So there's twice he says it. His first man failed. And this man would live his time, his age that he lived in. So I just repeated that. God continued on now in his creation. Now, I'm not saying this to anybody here. If anybody here wants to say, tell me, then that's fine. But I'm writing this out so that anybody out there wants to write me, please do. Now, somebody take the message and show me how a man, Adam, that did not live by every word was God expressed as a man. What did Brother Branham say he does? God interprets his own word. How does he interpret his own word? If God is a turnip, he's not a turnip, but if God is a turnip, in order for you to express that turnip, he got to grow one so you can see it. And that's the way he says he does it. If whatever God is, he brings it to pass. Show me how a man, Adam, that did not live by every word, was God expressed as a man. That was the seed to be expressed. I must have mistyped again. That was the seed to be expressed, the God as man. So what I'm trying to say is that the seed expressed was going to have to be God as man. I'm going to go back and rewrite this. Don't say he lived by the word for a while. That's nonsense. God lives by the word, period. It isn't that you live by it for a while and then you don't. So you was the expressed word for a while and then you wasn't. No. Remember who is expressing it. God is expressing it. And if God is expressing it, he don't live it for a little bit and then quit. You see what I'm saying? So it has to be God doing this. And that's why he put Adam down there, and he said he put Adam on equal basis and said, Adam, you do it. If you do this, then I'll do this. When he knew that he was going to have to do it for Adam, he knew that when he done it. Don't say he lived by the word for a while. We are talking about God expressed. God expressed for a little while and then failed. That should have been an ED with a question mark. I'm sorry. When God himself expressed as a man, he looked like Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ. And there's a quote where Brother Branham said that that's what God thought a man should look like, should act. Brother Branham said he was so enthused when he saw him that he struck him for the rest of us. That's what he was trying to do to get that one. That was his opener. What was the book? We talk about the book all the time. What was in the book? All of our inheritance was in the book. All of it was in there. We couldn't have our inheritance unless he opened the book to us. And he was the one going to open it to us. God shared his life with us. You see that? It was God sharing his life with us. Not we go get it. We go take it. We earn it. God shared it with us. Abraham, I have already done it. Not Adam, you do it. Now, we learned the last few times in this subject that Adam was behind the word and Jesus was the word. Now, we went through that, and there's quotes that you know they're out there. Let's see how being behind the word like Adam compares to be in the word like Jesus. So let's go back into this message, God's power to transform. And let's look at this little part here where Brother Branham talks about what Satan done in Satan's Eden. Here I want to stop just a minute, because we know Brother Branham said that Adam was the spoken seed word of God, and so was Jesus. The only difference was the covenant. And the covenant, you know what the covenant was. We already went through that. And one was behind the word, and one was the word. That's what Brother Branham told us. That's the difference. Okay? Now let's see what happened when Satan puts it to the test. Because every son, Brother Branham said, every son. The scripture says every son must be tested first. How I want to stop just a minute. Here I want to stop just a minute and tell you a little story. I heard a chaplain from the First World War, and they throwed like Satan at the beginning. When he come into the Garden of Eden, he could not dig up those seeds. He could not destroy them. But he sprayed them with poison and deformed the seed. So did he do something to the spoken word seed? No, look, but look what how he explains what he's saying. And he deformed the seed. It didn't bring forth its right kind. In the Garden of Eden, it did not bring forth its right kind. And you can't say it brought it forth for a while and then it didn't. Because this is God bringing forth something, and he don't have to do something. It didn't bring forth its right kind. It deformed the original seed. And that's all these programs of religion. They're still sons and daughters of God. All these people out here are still sons and daughters of God, but they're deformed. But it's being deformed. They go to church wanting to do right. A nun never enters a nunnery to be a mean woman. A minister never goes to school just to be a bad man. You never join church and shake hands, put your name on the book, or whatever you do in church to be a bad person. You do that to be a good person. But it's the deception, it's the deformity that does it. Satan sprayed it. And we know how he sprayed it. What did he do? He changed the word just a little bit. He gave them the word, God had given them the word to live by. And instead of them turning it down, now we know Adam didn't do this. But we know Eve, she took his deception. And then give it to Adam and he took. But it's the deception. It's the deformity that does it. Satan sprayed it. See, God never had an organization. There is no such thing anywhere found in the words of God. So that's what happened when they were behind the word. So Satan's going to try the same thing, but now he's going to do it to Jesus. Satan tried and tried to spray it. He took him up and said, if you are what you say you are, then do some of this healing here for me. Show me how you can do it. Turn this bread and this stones into bread. Let's see you take a dive because the scripture says you'll do it. You see them religious devils today still saying the same thing. If there's such a thing as divine healing, here lies brother so-and-so. Let's see you heal him. That same devil stood at Jesus at the cross and said, if thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross. Excuse me. The word said he was the Son of God. The Spirit proved he was the Son of God. Who proved it? Who proved that this man was the Son of God? God proved that this man was God. Isaiah 9:6 was fulfilled. That's the difference between being behind the word and being the word. And the other night, many of you in the broadcast heard how that we gave 60 some odd scriptures almost, I believe, about proving that the scripture said that that was him. Oh, Satan tried and tried again to do everything. He tried to get him to accept something off of the word and live some way that wasn't right. Make some little action that wasn't right. Because if he did, he wasn't the expressed word. You see what Satan was trying to do. The same thing he done to Adam back there, he was trying to do it to Jesus. One night, laying on the back of the ship, he seen him asleep. And he said, I'll destroy him right now. But he couldn't. He tried to tempt him into doing the wrong thing, but he couldn't do it. Why? He'd been sprayed with the repellent of predestination. He was predestinated for what was going on right there. It can't be deceived. No, no. The word said he would be here. Amen. There ain't no devil going to bother him. No other son of God that's predestinated to take his place, he is sprayed with a repellent. Satan's poison, denominational doctrines, don't even touch him at all. He moves right along. Nothing going to bother him, see? It didn't have any effect upon him. Whenever Jesus went down there to the river, the Word and the Spirit became one. There was no, that anointed predestination could not be took off to the left or to the right. No, it was not going to happen. He was the Word and the Spirit in Him became one. He moves right along, nothing going to bother Him, see? It didn't have any effect upon Him. Well, I'll make you the bishop of all the earth. I have rule over it. If you'll just worship me, come on, join my group. I'll make you the ruler. I'll step down, let you up. He just wanted Him to deviate one little place. He said, get behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship God, the Word, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then one day, oh, this great person, I'd like to stay there a while. But one day, the Spirit moved upon him again. After all this testing and stuff, then the Spirit moved upon him again because there was some word that had been wrote about him, come from God about the prophet, and he was led to the slaughter like a lamb. And the Spirit moved upon him and led him and sent him to Calvary's cross. And there he died. And everything that was spoke of him in his death was fulfilled to bring light and life to all. How much? He was to bring light and life to all of the predestinated seed of God that was upon the earth. He brought the way to do it. He brought the way. Remember Brother Branham said in one of the other quotes, there was only one way he was going to share his life. He brought the way, right here. He brought the way that light and life was going to come upon that seed. He brought the way to do it. Here is the seed. The Spirit brings the life, transforming sons and daughters of God from the world in this chaos into sons and daughters of God. And the prophet tells us here that he had planned to bring light and life to all the predestinated seed. The way was Jesus Christ. God expressed himself as a man, Jesus Christ. There was one way God was going to share his eternal life. There was one way God was going to express himself as man. One way. Adam was not that yet. Adam was promised to be that. Adam's name was on the Lamb's Book of Life. It had already been wrote out that Adam was going to get that. Brother Bram said that Adam, this is way back before the seals, but he said Adam, when he come and saw what Eve had done, he knew that if he took her back, that everything was going to be lost. But he also knew who he was, he said. And that if he went, that God would have to do something to get it back. That's what he told us. That was back in the 50s, I think it was. But I don't know. Other times he said Adam took her. He tells us the exact opposite. But we know he wasn't deceived. Adam was not that yet. We just read that. But he sprayed them with poison, and it deformed the seed. It didn't bring forth its right kind. The only man that could open the book was the Lamb. Adam couldn't open that book. God expressed as a man, not because there was something wrong with Adam when he made him. He was under a covenant for Adam to do to bring the word to pass. That's not going to happen. But there wasn't nothing wrong with Adam. I never said Adam was sinful. Adam wasn't sinful till the day he sinned. But he couldn't open the book. There was only one ordained to open the book, and that was Jesus Christ. So there was only one that could give us our inheritance. God expressed as a man. No other man could open it. There was one predestinated overcomer, Jesus Christ. Because you remember what it says in the Church Ages book, or it says in the scripture, to he that overcome will I give to sit down with me. And how is we going to overcome? By Jesus Christ. So he that hath me If my word abides in you and you abide in me, then I'll give you to sit down with me in my Father's throne. I'm sure I mangled that scripture. You can forgive me. Job, let's take a little of his life. Job was a prophet. He was a man that lived back before the Bible was written. It's been thought that Job was one of the oldest books of the Bible because it was written before Genesis was written. Job, this great warrior and prophet, was a mighty man in his day. No doubt that he had been brought up and had served the Lord all of his life. He'd served the Lord all of his life and had lived such a gallant life to the people and had respects for him. But he'd come to a place where he calls it here being tempted of the Lord. Remember, I read you out of the church ages, Brooke, where Brother Branham said that character cannot be perfected without suffering. Jesus's character could not be perfected without suffering. So how was Adam back there not suffering? How could his character ever be perfected? This had to come. It had to happen that way. But I'm just telling you, I mean, there's like 12 or 15 things that adds up here, but I'm just telling you that one. He'd come to a place where he calls it here, being tempted of the Lord. But I'd like to use the word being tested by the Lord. And truly, every son that cometh to God must first be tested, tried, child trained. And then if the testing gets hard and we think it's too hard and won't listen, take heed. Then he said, we become an illegitimate child and not a child of God, because there is nothing can move a real born again child of God away from his parent. Nothing. And we should be so glad about that. See, he's part of him. See why he can't move away from his parent? Because he's part of his parent. You could no more deny it. You could deny yourself. See, you've had the experience. You've been trained and tested. Hebrews 13:8, he said, and this is one of the things, when I started reading these things about when the book was sealed, it was sealed before the foundation of the world. Our inheritance was sealed back there. It was sealed back there when God had in the back of his mind what he was going to do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother Ram said that applies to all the word. He said, whenever Adam took Eve back, it was the word then that you shouldn't take her back if she's been with another man. We, his beneficiaries, are to prove his life is in us now. We're beneficiaries of him going and getting the inheritance for us. And because he went and got it for us, we're to prove his life is in us now. We're to be bread. Jesus was bread. Brother Ram said that we're to be Messiahs. We're to be bread. And you can't be bread if you're the word sometimes and not the word other times. The word, Jesus couldn't be broke. He and the Father was one. He couldn't be broke because it wasn't him. He yielded to God. His beneficiaries are to prove his life is in us now. The beneficiaries of this life. The life, there never was a life lived like that. He was the Son of God. And he died and that shut it out. Don't miss that. There was never a life lived like that one. And when he raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we as his servants are commissioned by him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he is living. You are the flashing red light besides the prophet's message. The prophet's message becomes a part of you. And then when God and you are one, then you're a flashing red light to this world that God is living. Again, Go into all the world and bring this good news to every person that he is living. And how can we do it? By the word only? For it is written, the gospel come not by the word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that he is alive. Amen. So this, in the beginning there, we read the first part of this quote, and this is down below it. But eventually, in the fullness of time, there come one, the head, even Jesus, who also must be tempted to see if he would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. See, even he had to do it. He had to stand these trials. Brother Branham said he was tested in everything that we are come up against. He was tested against. Word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then Satan was foiled. Satan hadn't been foiled up until now. Just little places, but not like this. Then Satan was foiled. For here was one who lived by it is written. So one that lives by it is written. And that masterpiece of God, overcome by reflecting God's word, by yielding to God, by the Spirit and word coming together. Then was this manifested perfect one given to the cross as the perfect Lamb of God for perfect sacrifice. And on the tree he received the wounds unto death, that we by him and because of him, we by him and because of him might eat of the tree of life. Is there any other way that we could eat of that tree of life? If that's the way the word is now, Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. By him and because of him, we would eat of the tree of life. And then that life, freely given, would enable us to overcome and express the word. There was only one way we were going to express the word. And brother and sister, when you see what has been taking place all this time, and you see what's taking place now, God Almighty is expressing you. Not you expressing God. You are God expressing himself. That's where the fire should be in this hour. That's what should be living in our lives. Expressing the word of God is God expressed as man. In the rapture, see these things happen, my dear brother, sister. This is so good because he brings it down to today. When we're talking about Messiah hits, we're talking about first, second, and third coming. Look what he says here. Now, I've read this quote a bunch of times. See these things happen, my dear brother, sister, when God in heaven knows I could die on this platform right now. You just ought to walk around a while. It's tremendous when you see God come from heaven, stand before groups of men, and stand there and declare himself. He looked like the prophet, but he was declaring himself just as he ever did. And that's the truth. And this Bible opens, see, right we're here. And the denominational system is dead. Why would he run those two together like that? God is here. We're here. The denominational system is dead and it's gone and it'll never rise again. It'll be burned. That's what you do with the husk in the field. Flee from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I belong to Methodist. I belong to Baptist. I belong to Pentecostal. You get into Christ. It's outside the church ages. We can get into Christ, not into part, but into God. If you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but what you believe it. I don't care what anybody else said. And then God makes that thing manifested because you, when he pours the Spirit upon the word, what you got in you, predestinated word. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said was in that little woman at the well, that little predestinated seed. When the word come in contact with it, what happened? Now he's talking about us. He's talking about today. He's not talking about back there. Because when he pours his spirit upon the word, what happens? The spirit has to be poured upon the word for something to happen. Just like putting water on any other seed, it'll live and it'll bring forth of its kind. That's what bringing forth of its kind. We got to see the seed bring forth its kind way back there, 2,000 years ago. And then we saw it come back among us again. But it wasn't just for that, to just witness it. It was to be a part of it. And that's where we're living right now. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you are a seed of God, an attribute, a son of God, then the word of God is sown in you. Let there be. You are part of that. Let there be. And then when you hear the word of God, the word of God is sowed in you. And then you hear the word of God. My sheep hear my voice. The stranger they won't follow. You get it? Then every seed comes forth after its own kind. Amen. I can't say amen hard enough, because I am one of those seeds. I believe y'all are one of those seeds too. We know there's one seed of man, but God brings forth many sisters and brothers, many sons and daughters. And, oh, I thought I was done. Did I finish? No, I didn't. I'm sorry. Yes, I did. The end of that one quote is like the end of this other quote. I did. I'm finished. Sorry. I hope that makes sense. I spent a lot of time on this week. I've been a lot of time in prayer. When I talked to Brother Don and Brother Goomba this week, I listened. I went apart and thought and prayed about it. And I come back and I could see some of the things they were saying, why they were saying them. And so I thought maybe I'd bring this one and maybe it would help on some of the questions. Some of the questions is that it looks like Adam was eternal and the express word of God for a while, and then he wasn't. And I just went over that tonight. What God's definition is of the expressed word. Now, we have to go by that. We can't go by our definition. We can't. Brother Ram said he was looking for a man that would live by all the word, because that is God expressed. That's the only way it can happen. It's God expressed. So that's the whole point of the message. Man shall live by every word. That's the only way he's going to live, period. And that was Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you give us the word, Lord, and you put it out there for people, and you said, search the scriptures, Lord, but not many people do. But you have a few, Lord, that are hungry, and you promise, Lord, that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is a hunger and righteousness filler, where you will fill them with righteousness. And Lord, we're so thankful that we found that, Lord, that fountain that flows up and fills us with your word, Lord, your truth, your confidence, and your peace, Lord. It's the greatest thing there is. May you go with us this week. Help us, Lord, to look at these things closely, Lord, not try to go around them or to try to make one quote argue with another one, but Lord, just let us be still and take what you said and go on, Lord, and let you show us more, Father, because it's you transforming your seed, Lord. We just show up, Lord. We're lambs, and we come up to have our wool cut We come up because you give us water to drink. We don't have to go pump it up. Lord, let us realize that, Father, how that you are supplying every need, Lord, both spiritual and physical and whatever it is, Father. You are transforming your word. You are interpreting your word, and you're the only one. And Father, we're so thankful that we know these things. Pray that you'll help Brother Guma on his trip as he's out of town, and help Emily with the children while he's away. Lord, may you just bless us, keep us this week. Be with Brother Michael and Sister Amanda's out tonight, Lord. Help them. We just ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Michael.